This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show. Bringing you another perspective since 2007.
You are listening to The F Word. The F Word is a syndicated show produced on unceded Coast Salish territories, Vancouver, BC, Canada, at CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's cooperative radio station. For more information about The F Word Media Collective, you can go to our website at feminisms.org. You can hear our shows through that site, plus cooperadio.org, rabble.ca, archive.org, Pacifica Radio, and iTunes. And every week, we broadcast live from East Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territories. I'm your host, Sarah Jo, with Ariana Bear operating the tech. On this week's show, we are featuring Pragya Sharma's interview with Aline Lam, founder of Butterfly. Based in Toronto, Butterfly is an organization that was formed by sex workers, social workers, legal and health professionals. It provides support to and advocates for the rights of Asian and migrant sex workers. The organization is founded upon the belief that sex workers are entitled to respect and basic human rights. Butterfly asserts that, regardless of their immigration status, Asian and migrant sex workers should be treated like all other workers. Pragya caught up with Aline earlier this month to chat about migrant sex worker rights, the impact of Bill C-36 on migrant sex workers, the dangers of the discourse on human trafficking, and the impact of increased policing and government interventions on migrant workers.
We are joined today by Aline Lam, co-founder of the Butterfly Project based out of Toronto. Aline, thank you so much for joining us on The F Word today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with your audience about the story and also the issue about the migrant sex worker. I think it's amazing you provide us the opportunity because not so many people interest or concern about this issue. So I think it's really, thank you so much. Yeah.
I was wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about what the Butterfly Project is and how it got started.
Okay, so actually I started Butterfly last year. So because I came from Asia, so and actually I have been working in sex worker issues for more than 15 years. So and then when I work in Hong Kong, China, and different places, so we find that actually a lot of women, they move around the world. So that's why at that time we already have some migrant sex worker project. So especially when we heard about the story, the woman talked about they came to Canada. So they said that it's being robbed, being raped is the cost you need to pay when you work in Canada. And so we also knew some girl, they disappeared in Canada and we suspect that they may have some dangers or be murdered, but there is no any information about them. So that's why I moved to Canada 2 years before. And when I arrived in Toronto, I found that there is a quite strong sex worker movement here, but it seems not so much voices about the migrant sex worker, especially I'm Chinese. So I know that from the newspaper and from the people I No, so they told me that there is quite a lot of migrant sex worker, Chinese or Asian work in Toronto, but seems not so many people are being reached. So that's why I start the project, so try to reach out the migrant or Chinese sex worker to see what is their working condition and situation. So, and then after almost a year, I worked with a sensitive and community house, so they are very supportive to start the project. And then after working with St. Stephen, I think it would be great if we can have a migrant sex worker organization because we can do more about the advocacy and not because most of the community center, they focus on the health issue. And I think migrant sex worker, they have more issue than just health, for example, their legal rights and how they can be organized. And also, like, a lot of issue is affecting by, like, the discourse of trafficking. So that that's why we try to start Butterfly. And because I also met some sex worker I knew in Hong Kong. So that's why we try to work together to start the project. So
a lot of reasons and a lot of need, it seems.
Because I think it is important for them to know about the right and also how to help facilitate the migrant sex worker involved in the sex worker movement and migrant worker movement. Because migrant sex worker is the intersection of different issues, right? It's like the migration issue, sex worker issue, and gender and race. So it's a lot of intersection. But how to bring the thing together, how to make different organizations aware of their situation and how to support this community, I think is important.
One of the things that struck me when you were speaking at the conference at Color of Violence 4, you were talking about Bill C-36, that so-called Protection of Communities and Exploited Persons Act. And I've heard a lot of criticisms about that bill, but not really from the perspective of migrant sex workers. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about this law and how it impacts migrant sex workers.
I think there is a lot of discussion about the new law, because the government claimed that so the new law can protect the woman, avoid them to being exploited. But you can hear a lot of voices from the sex worker organization. They think that the new law actually is very harmful for the sex worker. So, for example, they have like criminalized the client so that it is not illegal to sell the sex, but the client will become illegal. And anyone, they get the benefit from the sex worker, they will become illegal. And when you do the advertisement, it is illegal. So that is some of the example. And so, especially for the migrant sex worker, the impact is very, very great. So because most of the migrant sex worker I work with, so they are not familiar with the Canadian context. And some of them, they have the language barrier. So, and also like me, so the migrant, it's so difficult to rent the place, to find the place. So most of them, that actually they need some people to work with them. And so for example, to help them to find the place and give them the information, help them to do the advertisement. So now the new law is criminalized all the activity. So actually it's pushed the sex worker, migrant sex worker, become more underground, because the people helping them, they will have more risk. And the migrant sex worker is more difficult to find the people to support or help them. And so, for example, so if the migrant sex worker, they come to Canada, they work in a condition they don't think good, before they can find the newspaper and they can find the advertisement, so they may can find a new employer so that they can improve their situation by, you know, changing their job or they can use it to negotiate with their boss. But for the new law, it is not possible. And when I work in the migrant sex worker project before, some of the women, they are in a very bad working condition. The client is very, very important for them to change their situation. So sometimes the women try to find the NGO to help them to change the situation. It's so difficult, but because they can contact the client. So actually we have some cases is the client help the woman to leave the working place by bringing them out. And so, but you criminalize the client, actually make the client is more hesitant when they see the workers in the bad condition. They may not willing to help because they don't want to disclose their identity because they are illegal. So that you see the new law actually is very bad for the migrant sex worker. And the most important thing, normally when there is new law, the migrant sex worker always become the first group of people being targeted or being used against, because they are more difficult to voice out. So for example, you can see now a few days ago, so the police have enforced the law, they have prosecuted some people as the third party to employ the sex worker. They claim that they are trafficker. So, and then, so you can see migrant sex worker is always being the target. being used this law is not help them, but make them become more vulnerable and push them more underground and make them become more marginalized.
So what happens to the sex workers when an organization or when a person is said to be a trafficker? What happens to the women that they've supposedly trafficked?
I think before we talk about traffic, we need to understand actually now the term trafficking is very problematic because the people have a lot of assumptions behind the term trafficking. So many people think that you are migrant sex worker and they are the victim of traffic. And there is the assumption that every migrant sex worker is traffic victim, but it is not true because they think that sex work itself is exploitation, so that anyone involved in this industry, especially for the women or people, they are more vulnerable, they should be the victim. But so I think we need to redefine what is trafficking before we say the person is trafficked. Many women, as I say, right, many migrant sex workers, especially now, can Canada government have more strict immigration policy. So many people, if they want to stay in Canada, they are more and more difficult. And some people, they stay in Canada and they do not have the legal status to work here. So that's why sex work become one of the choice they can do, because this is the underground market that can evolve. So because they need to rely on third parties, sometimes the third party may take the advantage of this woman because they may not have enough bargaining power. However, in this situation, we will see that it is in the exploited situation or victimized situation like many other occupations. But doesn't mean they are being trafficked. So, but now trafficking, the term is like so exclusive, include everything, so, and have all the assumptions. But I think in reality, the issue is more complicated and we need to see the issue differently. We should not jump to the conclusion and say, oh, they are the victim of trafficking. So we need to see what make them victimized. So for example, why the woman need to pay more agency or they need to like to have less bargaining power because they don't have immigration status because of the criminalization of immigration. Most of the people, especially the poor women, they cannot migrate. So that's why it creates the opportunity for the third party. They can get the money or benefits from the woman, or the woman need to rely on the third party to stay in Canada. And the other part is the criminalization of sex work. Because most of the sex work activity is illegal and the woman is not able to work sex work as a legitimate work, so they also need to rely on the people, and the people may be at the risk of being prosecuted. So that's all situation make them become victimized. It's not sex work itself. So I think, I hope the public can understand the complexity of the issue and understand what make the woman become vulnerable. That's why, so when you talk about what kind of help we need to give the woman, I think like, so the best thing is we can give them the legal rights, right? So that they can have right to migrants. And the other part is if we treat sex work as other work, so that they can have the better protection under the labor law and other protection. And the other thing is because, so for example, before I moved to Canada, I can find a lot of information. So for example, if the people come here to do the investment, they do study, they come for studying, or they come for the skilled worker plan. So they have a lot of information talk about what happened. But for the sex work, the sex worker is not able to obtain the information before they come here. So if they can have chance to know better the situation, so they can have better information to make the decision whether they come or not, and if they are in the explosive situation, how they can escape from the situation to seek help or to change their situation. I think the information is very important to empower the woman so that they can to have enough support to change their situation.
I see what you mean about migrant sex workers really being at the intersection of all these issues, because it, from what you're saying, it really seems like it fits in with the government's broader policy of tightening the borders and policing who's allowed and adding this moralistic view of who can be in Canada and who can't.
Yeah, especially when you see that from last 10 years since there is more. So who is the target of most of the police operation? You see it mostly is the racialized woman, right? So that, like recently, the Asian sex worker the target before, sometimes the Russian woman, Eastern European woman being targeted. So you see it's so racialized, discriminated against for people to stop them to migrate, and then you see that whole discussion of trafficking, what's the initiative for the government is like have more border control, more arrest, it would not be helpful.
When you talk about people being targeted or migrant sex workers being targeted, what happens when they are targeted? I mean, do they get deported or do they get put in jail? What happens to them?
So I think even the police or many women groups, they said that, oh, we need to rescue the woman.
Yeah.
But we can see always what after rescue. So actually the anti-trafficking policy, one thing is the border control. So they have more screening at the border. So that means the woman is harder to enter Canada by themselves. So more people need to rely on other people's support in order to come to Canada, and they will like to pay more costs on and have more risk. So the border control actually is decreasing the bargaining power of the woman. And the other thing, when there is like the ray, so they will clean up the working area. So that means before the woman can have a stable working environment, but after the ray, they cannot work anymore because the working place is being cracked down. So, and then sometimes the people are being prosecuted, like the third party, but we have the experience that some of the migrant sex workers themselves, actually, because, as I told you, right, so that the migrant sex workers, because they cannot migrate by themselves, so some of them, they come to here, and then so they may bring some friends to come here to work together, or they have some sister so that they will work together, and the women, they help their peers to come here, it will become the trafficker also, they may be being prosecuted. Even the woman not being charged by trafficking or other sex worker law, most of them are being detained and deported. So that you see whole protection or rescue actually is not helping the woman, but treat them as the criminal. They are being punished. So that is not what we want to say. Because I think we need to ask why so many people migrate to be the sex worker. Because it's so many women or people in their home country, they face a lot of issues, problems. So for example, especially the globalization is making many people in their country is difficult to leave. Mm-hmm. So that they may try to go to the other countries, so to see whether there is the opportunity. And some countries they may have war, and some countries they may have like the discrimination against the LGBT community. So that's why they try to escape. Of course, some people they want to have better life, or they want to have the alternative of their life. So that's why they move away. So, but how the response of the government on like rescue trafficking is not helpful for this woman. It actually makes them become more vulnerable and situation getting worse.
I'm Sarah Jo, and you're listening to The F Word. On today's show, we're airing Pragya Sharma's conversation with Aline Lam of Butterfly, a Toronto-based organization working with migrant sex workers. Here's part two of that conversation on the dangers of state control, criminalization, and capitalist exploitation.
You mentioned just a little while ago that there was a recent raid on a facility in Toronto. What can you tell us about that?
I think there is the raid, not only, I just see from the news that the police said that there is the raid in Montreal and Toronto. So they arrest 7 people, and they allegated there are 500 victims. So that when we hear this story, it's like, oh, it's shocking. So many people are the victim. We are trying to save them, right? So, but I always feel doubt. Who is that 500 people? Is it the police really reach out 500 people, or they estimate? But I think this number is very successful to make the public have the panic about the trafficking issue, so that we can give police more power and justify what they are doing, and we don't question about how they do it. So from the news, we can see that actually the women are voluntary to involve in the sex worker, but they immediately say that they are in the exploitative situation, so they're the traffic victim. So you see the logic, right? So actually it's not logical, but this story is very convincing to so many people. But we think that this is very problematic to have the conclusion that it's 500 victims. So we are trying to contact the police to get more information, and so far we are not successful. So, and we hope we can like to have more information to see actually what happened. But I really hope the public, when they hear this kind of story, we need to understand the complexity of the issue, and we need to understand the intention of reporting this kind of story. Mm-hmm. So just like I have said, right? So many migrant sex workers, they, in order to work, they need to rely on the third party, but doesn't mean it must be the situation of trafficking, and it doesn't mean the people that must be exploited. So that we need to understand the complexity. Actually, it's different issues. We should not just look at all the issues together like a mess.
You mentioned, like you just were saying, that sex workers have themselves been very vocal about how criminalizing sex work really puts their whole lives at risk. And at the same time, there's many folks, even feminists, especially white liberal feminists, who are in support of criminalization. And I was wondering, why do you think that is, even for people that have heard from sex workers and hear from sex workers that criminalization harms them? Why do you think people...
I think finally go back to the is how we see sex and how we see the sex should be used. So, for example, before, you see in many countries, so they think sex work is bad. So women, they sell the sex, they are the bad woman, they should be punished. So, but now the families, they said, no, they are the victim, so that we need to protect them, they should not punish. So we should punish the client. But actually, it's no different. Of course, even the criminal law is not against the sex worker, but the punishment also is on the sex worker and trying to stop their work, just like what the government say. At the beginning, they said it's trying to stop the exploitation of sex worker, but actually the main purpose of the law is stop sex work. Mm-hmm. And so that's why some people, they think sex work should not exist in our society, because they think there is only some way we use sex is poker. So for example, when you marry so that you can have sex. or you can have sex without getting money. It's fine. And I need to ask why, when we have sex and when we get money, that is problematic. We never think about that. So why our society, why our law need to control our body? Why the woman cannot decide what they are doing? Some people criticize that actually is by controlling the sexuality of the woman, actually is controlling the agency of the woman. So, and I think that no matter the people say criminalize crime or sex worker themselves, I think the criminalization of any part of the sex industry actually is against the agency of the woman, how they use sex. For me, I think every people have the right to decide how they use their body. Some people think that, oh, migrant sex worker, they are not... Because I think the discourse is a little bit different, because in here we hear more than sex worker group said, so it is my body, my choice. I enjoy to do sex work, and this is the professional. This is one kind of story. And some people think that, oh, migrant sex worker, more of them is because of the economic reason they involve in sex work. So that they must be forced, so that we need to stop it. So, but when we look deeply in the society, I think this is from a very religious or moral perspective. The sex can only use by certain way, but we look at the whole history in the world. Actually, sex is being used for exchange of different things in many cultures. Some of the people get married and offering the sex to get the security. Some people get food. Some people get shelter. Some people get social status. So, and then why we cannot use it to get the money? So especially for the migrant sex worker, for me and also for many people, you can see that by involving the sex worker, involving sex work, actually they can have better working condition or less exploitative situation than many other work available for them. So when you see, especially U.S. have a lot of money to support the anti-trafficking project in Asia in 2000, and what they do, actually, they stop the woman to do sex work and push them to work in factory. So, or push them to be the domestic helper. So that is pushing them to be working in the more exploitive situation mm-hmm. under the capitalism. So, but when the people work in sex industry, actually many of them is also the entrepreneur. So they own their business or they work together as the partnership. So, and they may have bargaining power differently with the traditional, you know, the in the labor market. So, and the bargaining power is depends on the legal status or, you know, the law around the country. So that's why I think it's interesting to look more deeply about the issue. So, and I think it's a great discussion about whether sex work is work, but I think we need to question not only sex work is work or not, we also need to ask why some people want to control how I use the sex, right? Mm. So,
yeah, it seems like what you're saying is that capitalism is exploitative, not sex work. But all forms of life.
So, I really find some, especially when I work with so many women, sex work, so why they choose sex work rather than working in Tim Hortons McDonald's? Because sex work is less exploitative and they can get better return and better respect and dignity than, than other work. So some of the people, it depends on the people, right? So some people, they work very long term, but some people, they have the flexibility, especially if the people need to have childcare. It's so difficult for them to have the, especially the low pay and, you know, the grassroots work. It's so difficult, you know, to taking care of the children and also working. But sex work provide the flexibility for the woman so that they can also take care of themselves, the children or family, so that they are, and also they can have a reasonable return. So when you think, oh, see, the sex worker, they charge like $100 from the client, the PIM take away $50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, oh, it's exploitative. So, but when you go to Tim Hortons to pay $2 the coffee, do you think the worker can get 20 cents? If they get lesser.
Yeah.
You think this is exploitative, right? So then why the sex worker can get more than half, you think it's exploitative? So.
That's a very good point. Yeah. I think that connects a little bit with my next question, just in terms of exploitative structures. I remember when I saw you speak, you were talking about how our governments are inherently exploitative. Our governments themselves cannot and will not protect racialized women. So I'm wondering, given that perspective, that the state is always doing violence around migrant women, what are your thoughts on what women can expect from the government?
Mm-hmm. I think not only the women affected, but I think it's all people in the society, we really can see, so like the government, they have a lot of imported migrants policy. So that I always ask, who is the biggest trafficker? Normally, is the government is the biggest trafficker. So they try to exploit the intention is so clear, want to exploit the worker, right? So for example, they have an important worker plan so that they can pay the worker much lower than the local worker, and they can use them. But you can see the change of the immigration policy, especially from April, 1st of April this year.
Yeah.
They changed the policy again, so they try to take away the right of the migrant sex worker to make them so you can work in Canada, you can contribute to the society and get very little return, but they try to stop you to get your right. So, and you see, maybe you can have the people can look more about the policy, so that even officially the migrant worker, they can stay in Canada. Practically, they make them more difficult. So, and also like the language criteria of the migrant is also very discriminatory, especially for the racialized community. So they are not English speaking country, right? So it's a lot of criteria and requirement on the immigration policy is make the people very difficult to get their legal status, but they just want to use them to get the economic benefits from them, but they don't want to give them the right. So this is, I think, it is the real exploitation. So,
So given that, what can we expect from the government? What would you like the government to do differently, or does it make a difference at all?
So I think it's very, very clear, so that we need to see why the policy, the migration policy, immigration policy, and you see the globalization, so the capital, the money can flow away from different countries. So when there is the raid about, so to kick out the illegal worker, they only go to like farm, land, factory. They never go to the expensive hotel. Actually, it's a lot of businessmen, they also work in Toronto or Canada without document, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are never being targeted. But only the grassroots, the poor people, they are being targeted and affected by the immigration policy. So Canada always, you know, claim that they are multiple diversity, so that trying to, you know, to support different country. And I think they really need to have a more open immigration policy to, you know, to support the people to have the right. And the other part is so clear, we need to eliminate any criminal law against sex workers. When you talk about there is like cohesion or violence to force the people to do sex work, I think we don't agree any people being forced or violently to do anything. So there is also a lot of other more like assault, sexual assault, or blackmail, cohesion. So there is also a lot of criminal law can protect the sex worker. So we don't need extra criminal law against sex worker. In opposite, the police or the government, they should do more thing to protect the safety of the sex worker. So why I was so busy this week, because it's so many robbery happened to the migrant sex worker, and most of them will not report to the police because they are worried about their immigration status. If they report, they will have the problem, they may get arrested or deported. So I think there is other more important issue than, you know, always have the rain or, you know, so that is make the situation worse. So they can, the sex worker can assess the service and protection, and they can have the safety to work.
My last question for you is where you find hope in the movement for migrant sex workers' rights, and maybe what's been going right or what's been going well recently.
I think for me is I really hope that more people will involve in the migrant sex worker issue. So because like before, when I just come here, I really very rare to hear about the migrant sex worker issue from the sex worker group. But now I'm so glad, actually, a lot of sex worker groups, they are very, very supportive, and they see actually the diversity of the sex worker issue. So migrant sex worker is one of the important issues, and it's also need to understand how the people use the anti-trafficking discourse to harm the sex worker movement or use it as the excuse to stop sex work to work. So, and I think we hope more people from different sectors understand, especially the families group, they can understand actually what they are doing, especially trying to stop the woman working is not helpful for them. So anybody should have more choice, but you should not put your decision in my head to stop me to do what I want to do. And I think how we can network with the migrant working issue is also, I think it would be great if we can do it in the future. So that's why we are trying to organize the conference forum in May. So hopefully we can have chance to have more discussion and more sex worker organization is as involved, so that we hope that we can learn more from each other and to see how we can develop our future plan and how we can really help the public can understand more and support the justice of the migrant sex worker.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Aline, that I didn't ask you about already?
I think sex work is a controversial issue, and migrant sex workers, because they have intersection of race, gender, and immigration issue, and workers issue, and sex worker issue, and it's also very controversial. I really hope that people would have chance to listen to the story of the woman to understand the complexity of the issue before they have the judgment on this issue, and not so fast, oh, anti-trafficking, oh, that's good, I go to support. We need to know what is the harm of so-called anti-trafficking movement and the anti-trafficking initiative. So when we support it, actually we give more power for the police and government to abuse the rights of the migrant sex worker.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Aline, for sharing your thoughts and for talking about the work you do and for doing the work you do. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, effing up the airwaves since 2007.